Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hello, this is Anderson, and I have got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie episode 22 of 36 episodes or so. I have been derelict. Yes, I literally have been so busy that I have not had the time to sit down and record one of these, which is shooting myself in the old foot over there, because you guys need to hear about the updates, especially if you want to be a part of it, to keep this train rolling. However, I've just not done it because I've been too tired or just not in the right mind space to actually relay to you guys what's happening, but here I am. More updates will be coming as they come. Maybe I'll do a couple in 1 week as the updates, because they're coming fast and furious now. And let me tell you, this will be short and sweet. First of all, loadedforbeardoc.com is where you go if you'd like to become a part of this. And hopefully by the end of this little feed here, you will hear more about what's going on and why it's worthy of a few bucks that are most likely, on almost all cases, I just can't legally say, will be tax deductible because it is going through a 501c3, because it is a worthwhile project that Entertainment to Effect Change has signed off on as one of their official projects. So all that said, also, if you work at a corporation, all that stuff, ask if they would like to match. And it makes you look good as an employee, too, because you're saying, hey, I like to give to this worthwhile charitable project. Do you guys match? And even if they don't, they're like, oh, look, one of our employees is nice. So here's what's happening right now. As you hear this, if you're hearing this the day it came out, we're 3 weeks away from shooting the short film version of Loaded for Bear, which my very clever, smart producer, Robert Jarosinski, decided was a good idea once we saw that Hollywood was shutting down, or at least slowing down, because of the labor disputes. And we realized, or I should say Robert realized, that the SAG-AFTRA strike in particular had carve-outs that were short films, micro-budget features, and student films, and those were not struck, as is the saying. So, as many of you heard, we as in Robert, did a whole lot of paperwork, jumped through a whole lot of hoops, talked to a whole lot of people over at SAG-AFTRA to make this all official, and we are officially signed off on, signatory, they call it, a project that is approved. So that means that we can sign SAG-AFTRA actors, which we have done. We are pretty much all set on all of our cast, and now I am meeting with the cast, and I am also, since we have a locked date, I am calling the parents of the Born to Act players to check on their availability, which was the last thing to do because they all live local. They all know the location, and I've made it easiest for them to make this shoot work for them, and to be able to call these parents and say, hey, I have a role for your child, your actor, who is very committed to the craft. Not only do I have a role for them, but they will be paid and fed and should be showing a really good time with hair and makeup, lights, the camera, the action. They're going to be seeing how actors who do it professionally and make a living off of it do it right in front of them. And gonna get some experience out of it, and possibly even like SAG points for those who are looking to get into SAG. And there's a couple that are already in SAG, and a couple of the parents are gonna be honest. I was a little bit nervous about calling because I don't really know them at all, or I was afraid there'd be a language barrier. And so far, of all of the parents that I've called, and there's been a number of them, 100% of them have been thrilled to be a part of this. And it it's so nice to hear them be excited for the same thing that we're excited for. And there's been zero apprehension so far. And, you know, I always do that thing where I'm like worried about the worst, which is like, well, I don't know if my kid could be there for 8 hours. And I don't know, that's asking a lot. And well, how much money? And like, none of that has come up. It's just been like, oh yeah, that's great. You know, they're going to have so much fun. Thanks for, you know, putting this together. Cause there's been so much that has gone into this. And to be able to pay everyone except for, at this point, myself, I'm being paid $1 for the short, but it's all part of the documentary. So it all is worthwhile and should lead or give us the best chance to lead to the feature film. So it's so rewarding to be getting the parents excited and the kids excited. One of the first calls I made, I was talking to the mom. Actually, she had to call me back because they were out of town, and she called me back. I didn't even know that her daughter was in the back seat, and I was on speakerphone, and her daughter was hearing all of this. And I said, so make sure you let, you know, so-and-so know. I was talking to the mom, you know, about the date and what we're looking for and what it's going to entail. And she goes, oh no, she's in the back seat. She hears all of this, and her mouth has been open, and she's covering her mouth with excitement. She has been for the last 3 minutes. And like, it's just the best. It's the best. So excited. I was at class earlier today and talking to some more of the, all right, here we go. The worst part is kind of having to, in hushed tones, talk to some of the parents, because I can't invite everyone down because there's 75 active actors at the moment, and I don't have room for 75. I have room for 16 or so, as well as like five or six that would also like to maybe learn about how different departments work, and, you know, how barn doors work, and gaffing and booming and that kind of thing, boom miking and even camera stuff. So I'm going to have some people that are there helping PA and work behind the camera as well as in front of the camera, but I don't have room for everybody. And that sucks. That's the worst part of it. And I don't want anyone to feel slighted or left out of it, but everyone so far has been cool and excited. So the other thing that happened just today, and this is pretty cool. The guy who has been cast as Ben, who is, if there is a lead in this, and there is, it's Ben. It's the old guy who quit his job and he's taking a stand for the first time in his life. And instead of just keeping his head down and, you know, pushing the papers and doing the work and collecting his paycheck and living his private life, even though, you know, there's some not so savory things happening at the top, Ben looks up just before retirement and realizes that he's been kind of helping the bad machine go in the wrong direction for his whole life. And he's going to take a stand before it's too late, before he's done with this world. And he wants to take a stand for the first and only time. And that's what this whole movie's about. And the character, the actor that plays Ben, who is a very specific character, has been cast, as many of you heard, as John Capelos. And he's extensive catalog of movies you can see. He's that guy. You will recognize his face when you see him. And I've talked to him on the phone, and this morning I met with him in person for the first time, and it went very, very well. What a sweetheart of a guy. I am so lucky to have this guy on our side and to be a part of this. He gets it. He absolutely gets it. And I mean, he did tell me some personal stories from his youth that involved volunteering with this group, which I had no idea about, with this population, and how it affected him there, where to the point that he would get emotional, too emotional, when he was volunteering with this group of mentally challenged adults, is what they were called then, and now intellectually and developmentally delayed adults. And he could not help himself at the time of volunteering when he was younger. He'd have to excuse himself, go to the bathroom and cry, is what he told me. And as he's telling me this, he's crying again, and he's just the sweetest guy. And I tell him, I said, John, you're not going to have pity for these guys when you see them. They are inspiring, and they live full lives because they're in great situations with loving parents, and they have purpose, and you will see that they're motivated and they're committed to acting and all these other things that they do in their lives. And you're going, my whole thing when I got into the camp that I do, and when I first started volunteering at Special Olympics back when I was a teenager, was I could not stand the fact that every time I saw somebody who was less fortunate or was getting bullied, or it looked like their life was a super hard, you know, day-to-day struggle, which it is for a lot of these, a lot of people in the world. I hated the fact that every time I'd see somebody like this in the mall or anywhere, like in life, just walking around, I would get, like John did back then, emotional, and I would start crying. And the only way to get past that is to spend time with these people, whether it's blind people or kids with cancer or, you know, people missing limbs or mentally challenged, intellectually developmentally delayed adults, and get to know them as individuals. And then when you see somebody in public, you'll remember and you'll think of the person you know in your life. Like, that was how I beat that, because I would spontaneously start crying in the mall as like a 15-year-old kid if I saw a guy who was, you know, like 19, 20 years old with a walker, and he was like wearing really nice shoes, but he had muscular dystrophy or something. And I would just get so emotionally bent out of shape and sad. I'm like, I have to give back. And I didn't realize it. God, am I on my soapbox, or I'm pouring my heart out here because it's happening. I didn't realize the effect that it would have ultimately, after spending time and quality time and volunteering and then working in some of these situations where I got to know people with challenging lives and things that they had to overcome. And now, still, when I see people who are, you know, visually impaired or mentally challenged, obviously, intellectually, I keep going back to the mental challenge, but IDD, I think of like experiences that have kids with cancer, even like bald kids with cancer. Like, yes, I still get choked up and emotional, but it's not like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for them. It's like, oh, that reminds me of this kid from camp who, you know, beat cancer, or who even in some cases didn't beat cancer, but they saw life so differently. And it's anyways, wow. I didn't mean to go down that road, but, John is fantastic. We'll be getting together again next week. I told him, I said, exposure will definitely help. I don't want you showing up on set having these kinds of feelings. So we need to get you like up to speed with, I didn't quite say it like that, but like, you know, he volunteered. He's like, let's, I want to hang out at this class and meet some of these actors. And, exposure is going to, you know, show him just how brave and strong they are. So, do I erase this? Did I just say a bunch of stuff that people are going to think I'm a, I don't, anyways, it was a great meeting. I felt even better. I felt great knowing that we had landed him, but after meeting him today in person, like, it's just everything I could have hoped for. So, that is where we are at right now. It's, if I told you guys everything that went into this week, with everything I'm doing, I don't know if you'd believe me. And it's, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life, but it's all really, really good stuff. So, forgive me for not having posted this earlier or recorded this earlier, but it's all coming together. And, you know, the pressure's on. Like, I have so many people that are, you know, depending on me now. Thank God we're paying everybody. But I want to make sure that this, you know, project is good. So every single day I'm spending hours, working towards that. And, Here we go. Very excited. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for helping out in any way you can. This is all leading towards what we hope will be a feature length film. If once we have the short and dailies or rushes or, you know, clips from the documentary that Mike and I are shooting, the footage looks great from what Mike is shooting. We're going to package this and then shop it around and try and find the right people who will see what we see and want to finance this feature film, this narrative that we hope to be producing and, you know, making as early as later this year or next year, if all goes as planned. So thank you for helping us get over the hump. LoadedForBearDoc.com is where you go to help. And derelict in my duty again. I should, it's been so long. There's going to be people that are left office because I can only see the most recent, but thank you, Amy Dunphy, for giving to the project. Thank you, Douglas A. Woodward, for giving to the project. Anthony James Armentano. I butcher that. Wow. Anthony, you gave a ton and I just butchered your name. You gave a ton. Sam Williams, Jed Jesse, gave a whole lot. Dan Height gave again. That's the second time. Scott Clark. Hey, Scott by Scott. Look at that. Scott gave a good amount. Thank you very much, Scott. Dude, I owe you, if anything. You've done been so good to me over the years. And then Kyle Loader, same thing. You gave a whole bunch of money, and thank you so much, everyone. We're up to exactly 100 donors as I speak these words. Actually, not quite, because it counts each donor, even if they gave a couple times. So we're probably right around, because I know a lot of you have given multiple times, like Andrew Martin gives like monthly, and he has for the last 4 or 5 months. So I'd say we're at about 90 donors or so, but it shows up as 100. But wow, thank you guys. I can tell you that with groupers, we had over 1,000 contributions, and we're almost to the halfway point with groupers, if that makes sense mathematically. So with only 100 donors so far with Loaded for Bear, you've almost reached the halfway point that we did with 1,000 donors for groupers. So thank you very much. If you've been thinking about giving, now would be a great time, because I have all sorts of people that we have to pay for this short film that is happening, and I'm getting good rates too. I'm not, no one's gouging. I'm giving people fair rates. If you're a sound guy, you're getting, the money that you would hopefully get it in a small gig when everything was normal. I'm not asking for huge favors from people, especially people I don't know. So, there's a lot of money going out the door, and I'm saying yes to a lot of these people that I'm calling and negotiating with. So it's going to cost. It's going to cost money. And it doesn't happen without your help. So geez, am I pitched enough, but it's all honest and true and from the heart. So thank you very much, everybody. And I will talk to you hopefully very soon with some more exciting news. I'll be getting together with the other actors next week, and we'll be doing a table read here fairly soon, and I will be reporting back on how that goes. You know what I should have spent some time on is all the little things that us producers have to do, because I'm producing this as well, not just showing up and directing, which would that'd be nice, but a whole lot, and there's a number of us producing this, and all the little things that have to. I was on the phone with something called Film LA today for a half hour talking about the project and what needs to be done and to get the proper permits for our location. And you find out bad news almost every phone call you make. You find out about something that turns out that the location, well, I'll just give you this little nugget real quick. The location we're shooting at, which is a very important location, it's kind of non-negotiable now that I've negotiated that space, and I know how much it's going to cost, and we can actually afford that for what we had budgeted for the location. The place that it is on the map is just inside. It's like right on the line of a specific part of Los Angeles County or the city of LA that Film LA considers to be, I don't even remember what word he used, but it's a little more sensitive. So they demand that you have a Film LA representative on set for all of your hours, which immediately I go, okay, well, I'm going to have to pay this person. What is this going to cost? It's almost the same as like if you have an animal on set, you have to have somebody from the Humane Society on set if you want the stamp of approval. It's not even about a stamp of approval. It's about you're not allowed to shoot without this person now on the set because it is in this sensitive part of town, whatever that means. I think it just means because they're residential. I don't even know. I don't know exactly why. I didn't get to the bottom of that. But this person, who we don't have budgeted for, has to be on set for every moment that we're there, and it's going to cost $43 an hour plus overtime once we go over 8 hours, and that all adds up to a lot of money because we're doing we have 18 hours scheduled including load-in for the day before, and when you factor in overtime, it's a big chunk of money that we did not have budgeted because we had money budgeted for the permit. That's on top of the permit, which is it's so little things like that. And, it's just, holding my breath on the phone, asking questions about like, well, what are you going to charge for this? What's that going to cost? And all of this goes into leading up to doing something. I miss the days of just shooting gorilla in the streets, running and gunning. Doing it officially though, doing it proper, because we are SAG-AFTRA and we are professional. Well, we're professionals over here. All right. It's all going to be worthwhile. Thank you very much. And I will talk to you guys soon.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Neil. And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.